right, we're going to start the meeting, and I see we have a large contingency here tonight. So I'll call the meeting to order, and I'm looking for a motion to adopt or amend the agenda.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
A second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And we'll approve the minutes from May 16th board meeting.
I have a request from Commissioner Diedrich.
Okay.
She would like this addition added to the board minutes from last time in the section where it discusses forming the Collection Development Committee. She would like added to the minutes that Tina Diedrich appealed to the board to be on the Collection Development Committee. So she asked me to relay that for consideration.
Okay. Is that okay with everybody?
Yep.
Okay, so then I'm looking for a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll move to approve the
charge.
Second, Randy.
Seconded by Randy. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Approve or opposed? Carried. Now we're to the public open forum deal. We have a large amount of people that were signed up here tonight, and we have a policy of 2 minutes per person and a 10-minute maximum. If we let everybody speak that's on this policy, we're going to be here considerably into the evening as we have a presentation and a large agenda. So I guess I'll let it up to the people that have signed up if they wish to speak. If you've been here before and you want to let somebody else speak, that's fine. We're going to have a hard call at 2 minutes, and we're going to have a hard call at 10 minutes. So I will start with the names that are on the list, and we'll go down the list. And if you wish to speak on a first-come, first-served basis, is fine. Otherwise, when we get to the end, there will not be enough time for everybody to speak. So if you can kind of figure it out amongst yourselves on who you want to speak and where you want to speak, that we'd appreciate that. So the first one on the list is Katie Whitney from St. Cloud.
Right up here.
Right up here.
I'll let you know when it's finished, so you don't have to stop.
Perfect. I have it pre-written, so I won't ramble.
All right. Do I just start now?
Okay.
Yep. I come here as a member of the community that has been using Great Rivers Library since I was a kid. I also come here as someone who is part of marginalized communities being disabled and queer. The LGBT communities are being unfairly targeted by misguided and uneducated people whose only intent is to vilify those they disagree with. I can't help but wonder if the children of the previous speakers of the May meeting feel truly welcomed and loved by their parents who come to this library with the intent to censor, ban, and restrict access to books. Thanks to this library's vast collection, I have been able to learn many things and gain empathy for others. The workers here make me feel loved and welcome just as I am. I used this library when I was a broke college student to request titles to read and watch when I couldn't afford anything. This includes one series I hope the board will look into as a cautionary tale. The series is called Library Wars. Great River has the entire manga series, and Amazon Prime has the anime. It is about a library set in Japan in the future that has a military to protect its collection and right to free speech because of people like those last May violently censor, ban, and restrict books, as well as those who engage in the library and those who create the materials. I see a lot of parallels in that series and today's current issues. Great River has a vast collection, and it should include LGBT books. Lastly, I'll give one word of advice to the board. My father, who never misses an opportunity to tell people how proud he is of his queer, outspoken daughter, taught me that those who do not learn from history are doomed to repeat it. I do urge the board to look into the history of book banning and censorship and see just how badly it went for those who did censor. Thank you.
Then we have Rachel Wilbaum.
Wexelbaum.
Wesselbaum. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Hello, everybody. I want to talk for a minute about the supermarket. And in the supermarket, there are a wide, diverse variety of foods. Some of those foods, due to personal preference, we may not care for. Some of those foods, due to medical issues, we may not be able to consume. When was the last time a person called up Coburn's to say, my child has a severe peanut butter allergy, and you should remove all the peanut butter from your stores because they are not safe for children. You should remove all the peanut butter Chex, all the Reese's peanut butter cups, all of the peanut butter cereals, everything that has peanut oil in it, because my child is allergic to peanut butter, and this is a threat to the community, these foods with peanut butter in them. So understand that everybody's different. Everybody has different dietary needs. Everybody has different likes when it comes to food. Books are the same, and libraries provide that same need for nourishment and sustenance. St. Cloud has become a diverse community. This is a public library. Public means that the library will have books that represent the needs, interests, voices, and identities of the community it serves. That has always been the history of the library. Always. And so the American Library Association, the International Federation of Library Associations.
We've hit the 2 minutes.
Okay. All have information about library collection development and why book bans are not correct. Thank you.
Okay. Kathy Parsons.
Start with gratitude for this board and this library. When I moved here 35 years ago, I was worried there wouldn't be a library that would make me feel the way I feel about libraries, and this one does. So first of all, thank you, and thank you to the people who work here. I want to speak today about why I stand so firmly against the banning of any books. While I support the notion that any family can decide what that family wants to read, I stand firmly against any individual parent, any group of parents, any other group that wants to decide what I can read, what my children can read, what's available. In 1971, a book was released. It was called Go Ask Alice. I was 12 years old, and it was controversial at that time. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, abortion too. My parents knew I was reading it. My Catholic school knew that many of us were reading it. But all firmly believed that it is through dialogue and reading and talking about things that you can decide what to do with the information in a book. The books here in this library, no person has to read, but you can choose to. And I want to support the board in standing firmly against any type of book ban requests. Every family gets to make their own decision on what they actually read. But nobody should be influencing separately what should be read or what should be available to people in the public libraries. So thank you.
Diane North.
I'm going to switch, and Jay Lee is going to go first. I'm going to go after her, if that's okay with you.
Okay.
You want? I can bring the mic to you.
Well, she's almost half there.
Okay. Do you need a chair?
Actually, I would like one of you.
Okay. Yep. See that?
When you get older, sometimes you get kind of off balance.
Mic stand, Patty. All right, we're good.
Okay, my name is Jaylee Berger. I'm a registered nurse and have a degree in chemical dependency counseling. I've got a master's degree in rehabilitation counseling and a master's in psychology and dispute resolution, and I'm a recovering lawyer. I did practice for a while, but I went back to nursing. I was an ER nurse for 30 years before I went to law school, and during that time, I counseled alcoholics, drug addictions, and porn addictions. I want to give you a true definition of addiction. It's the use of anything that makes some trouble or a problem in any area of your life, but you don't or won't stop. An example would be, you can get one DWI or DUI, I don't know what they're calling it now in Minnesota, but you can get one and not be an alcoholic. But you get that second one, and you are an alcoholic whether you like it or not, whether you admit to it or not, because you didn't stop when you got the one. Because you got the one shortly after college, you know. Drugs like cocaine can cause legal problems, this is an example. Health problems because of tremendous cost. It can also cause some people to steal, lose their jobs. Many lose their families. There are many people on the streets that have lost their homes, et cetera. Now, much of my background is scientific, but I hope you didn't expect a bunch of scientific facts and figures as my career and my life moved on, and I discovered that in nursing and in counseling and even in the law, I've learned that the science stuff is there to refer to, but most people don't get into that in their real life. And we want to talk about real life. And I promise I'm not going to give you statistics.
I'd 2 minutes is up.
2 minutes is up?
Yep. Sorry.
Okay. Well, that's a fast unit. Well, I'm sorry that I couldn't get into what I wanted. But
you can send a letter.
I do want to thank you for the opportunity.
Diane North.
That's me.
Okay. You'll be right back.
Yep.
Porn is contributing to the psychosis of a child. It's demonic, and you sold your souls the minute you allowed Minnesota schools to allow CRT, porn, boys in girls' bathroom. You've pushed the ideology of trans to take any child of their choice. This is not a place to indoctrinate our children or pronouns or confuse them about barbaric sexuality. When they can't read or write yet, it's an abomination. People I talk with are taking their children out of school system. You are paid by our tax dollars and have no right to teach our kids anything outside of reading, writing, arithmetic, and Pledge of Allegiance and prayer. I have a terrible example. I was abused. I was 8 months pregnant, and my fiancé, I would not marry him. He was watching porn when I was in my 8th month. I got up and got a drink of water and saw him watching porn. It made me feel filthy. It made me feel fat and ugly. Okay? He continued to do so. And later on, it didn't stop. He grew up watching porn. That was horrific of a childhood that he had carried on into his adulthood. I had to leave Minnesota. It didn't stop him. He kidnapped my child 3 to 4 times. And Then he married someone and beat up the woman that he married and raped his daughter. And when she came to me for help, when she had staples in her brain, she told me, Diane, he still watches porn to this day with your picture right next to it. Do you know how that makes me feel? I have been celibate because of that, because I didn't feel good about myself. It took my identity away, and that's what it will do to that little girl.
Okay.
If she's allowed to read books that is available to her, God bless the children.
Okay. Well, there's many more people on the list that I know wanted to speak, and I guess if you'd send an email or... Right, is that what you'd wish for him to do?
Yeah, you can send a letter, an email.
Letter, email, or whatever.
Catch me after the meeting. If you
to the library. All comments are recorded in our minutes, and we will take everything into consideration. So thank you for your comments. With that, we're going to move on to the financials. The bills, Randy.
Motion to pay the bills, is that what you're saying, Chair? That would be under the financial committee, not
okay.
Bills. Bills, financials, and letter of designation are separate from finance committee. They were emailed out
number
to
five.
Everybody.
Number five.
Yep.
Right.
Number five.
Yeah. So I don't have to. Yeah, we all got them now.
Right.
Yep.
So I can make a motion to approve the bills.
Yep.
I'll second.
Motion by Randy, seconded by Al. To pay the bills. Any questions, comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Financial report on 5.2. That's a requested item.
Yep.
What's your wishes?
I move we accept them.
I'll second.
Motion and seconded. Jane, any other discussion on that? Hearing none, call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 5.3, it's a current letter of credit designation.
I'll
on
move
page
approval.
9.
I'll second. I think Lynn and...
Lynn.
Okay, Lynn.
I'll second.
Okay, JC, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Next, we have the number 6, the consent agenda.
You could do that as a slate if you want.
What? As a slate, 6.1, 6.2, 6.3, and others. Mm-hmm. What's your wishes?
I'll make a motion to approve all 6.1, 6.2, 6.3.
I'll second it.
Okay, motion by Randy, seconded by Jane. Any discussion on any of those items? Any conversation? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carry. Any communications?
No.
At this point, we have a presentation from St. Cloud State, GRRL User Survey.
So some of you may remember we designated funds at the end of last year to conduct a user study with St. Cloud State University. This is something we did in 2018, so it's been 5 years since the effort has taken place, and I'll let our presenters introduce themselves, and we'll get settled. It's been an interesting journey.
Okay, is this on?
No.
Okay, great.
There. I'm going to hit 5 when you're ready.
Yep. Okay, hi, thanks for coming. We haven't had this big a crowd for our survey results in a long time, so thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it. I'm Dr. Jim Cottrell. I'm a co-director of the St. Cloud State University Survey Research Center, and this is my colleague, Dr. Ann Finan. She is a professor of sociology and another co-director of the survey, and we've been working with Great River Library on trying to learn what users of the library how they rate the services, which services do they use, how can the services be improved. And so we wanted to talk a little bit about the results that we have from the survey this year. We did one 5 years ago, as Karen Punsack, the executive director, pointed out, and we're following up. And the news of both of these surveys is that most library patrons are satisfied. We have seen high levels of satisfaction. Our sample is actually a little bit different than the overall community. We see that women are strongly overrepresented among users. Explanation. Normally, when we see this kind of disparity in one of the demographic areas, we would do some corrections, some weighting to make sure that we get a representative sample. However, this survey is of anyone who has a library card, so it's not the population overall. So we are interested in the people that use the library. What were their impressions? How were they satisfied with the services? And what sorts of things would they like to see? So the library doesn't gather personal information from you. That's part of their mission, is that they're not gathering private data from you. So we don't actually know if this is representative of the overall users. We suspect that it is. We did get almost 6,000 responses to our survey. So we have a lot of data, and so we have a lot of statistical significance, but it's worth noting that we don't know if this is the actual population of users. Hopefully, many of you were able to participate and give us your feedback on the library services. This report, by the way, will be available for people if they want to see it later. It is public data, so we're going to go through an executive summary, but there will be more detail in the report if anybody does want to dig into it. So let's go ahead. We don't have a lot of time, so we'll go ahead and talk about some of the results. The largest branch is actually this one in St. Cloud. 28% of respondents reported that they use the St. Cloud Great River Library branch regularly. Elk River was next at 10, St. Michael, Waite Park, Monticello. The lowest usage was Swanville, which we had, I think, out of 6,000 respondents, we had about 26 people. So it is used. It's an important branch, but it was the lowest traffic of any of the branches. How often do you visit the library each year? You see that most people who are library users use the library regularly, okay? So only 13% said 1 to 3 times, but we had nearly 51% who use the library 11 or more times in a year. I myself can attest to that, too. I was one of those respondents. Did you do any of the following on your last library visit? So by far the most frequently used service is to pick up a book, okay, to pick up a book on reserve. Many of us use reserve to get the book that we want, or simply browse the library collection. 51% of users browse the library collection once they were here. Use the express checkout. 34% are using the self-checkout, like I guess we're all used to at Costco and Walmart, et cetera. Use curbside services. We still have 5% who perhaps got used to doing this during the pandemic, and they use the curbside services to pick up and to drop off books. Satisfaction. These are the results of satisfaction for various services that the library uses. Books and magazines, 89% were satisfied with their experience checking out books and magazines. 70% used the website or online catalog and were satisfied with their experience doing that. 49% of users used the digital library and reported very or somewhat satisfied with the digital library. 33% of users are using Blu-ray, DVD, and VHS and are satisfied with their experience with those. We also had 23% using computer printer copy services, so sometimes people use the library for those services if they don't have those at home. Wi-Fi with a personal device, 21%. Study rooms or meeting space. You can see there's a wide variety of services that are used. Kits are very entertaining. You know, my son actually used one of these kits. Unfortunately, our garage burned down, and they weren't able to retrieve that, but the kits are very, very nice. So let's get into some of the details of the satisfaction. As you can see, roughly 86% of users said either excellent or very good was their satisfaction level with the Great River Regional Library. We had 37 respondents who cited poor, which was less than 1%. So overall, the people that use the library have expressed satisfaction with their experience. How easily are you able to access library services? Access has been a question that the library is deeply concerned about. They want to make sure people all have access to the library, that they're able to use the services of the library. And we see that 75% said they're able to access very easily. 22% said somewhat easily. And so we can see that most patrons are finding it easy to access the library. Now, the last time you used library services, how well did they meet your needs? We see 78% said very well, 18% said very well. So we only have a very small percentage, about 3%, that were not satisfied with the services that they got from the library. The library is generally a welcoming place. We see that roughly 94% of patrons said very welcome or somewhat welcome at the library. So that's probably a significant part of the satisfaction with the library. It's a place where people can come and they can feel welcome. On a scale of 1 to 10, we see that most respondents, 85%, said 9 or 10, they would be likely to recommend the Great River Regional Library to a friend. Now remember, this is all the branches, not just St. Cloud. Great River Library across the different branches enjoys a high level of satisfaction. So the take-homes. Overall, Great River Regional Library users and former users are satisfied with the library. I should note that we did break this down by users and people who had not used the library in the last 12 months. Even the non-users of the library really didn't seem to have any problems with the library. They just hadn't had a need for the services for whatever reason. The results are similar to the 2018 study in which we measured various satisfaction measures. So it was important to look and see, did the pandemic disrupt people's library habits? And we see that really satisfaction didn't diminish. We see a high level of response to the survey. People were still viewing the library very favorably. St. Cloud and Waite Park were among the most used branches. Although the sample did capture users of all branches of the library, I think there were 33 overall, is that correct?
Yeah, counting Sartell.
Yep. So there's a Sartell locker to go. So we had 33 overall locations, and we did get a significant response from most of those branches. Households in which someone had a disability reported high levels of satisfaction with access, feeling welcome, and satisfying the needs of the users. This was a new survey item this year. We wanted to see if people from households where an individual had a disability, were they still able to access the services that they needed from the library? And we found over 85% of the respondents reported satisfaction, either excellent or very good, with their access, with their feeling welcome, with their needs being met, and with the staff at the library. So there really wasn't a statistically significant difference between people who reported having a disability and those without a disability in terms of their ability to access the services. So that was a new finding that we had in this particular report. Now, the report itself is over 140 pages, so if you want to learn more, that will certainly be available. We are making the final report available to Karen this week, and so if anyone wants to look at that, you can certainly ask. So we have time for questions?
Yep. And the executive summary is in the packet, too.
Okay.
Any questions?
Yes.
Chair, I'm kind of very dismayed with the people of color percentage that you had, 3%. I know the library has done a lot of effort for inclusion and diversity. Was any effort made on that regard to, or was this just a random survey that was sent out? Did you put out messages in different languages to people of color to let them know about the survey, and was it translated in other languages so that they could take it if they wanted to?
So one, we share your concern, and this is an ongoing, as all of you have ever taken a survey are probably aware, this is a really important issue in terms of getting a representative sample that is then useful to, you know, make decisions that are important to the community. So one, 3%, what was our total number? 6,000?
Almost 6,000.
So we are able to do some analyses that will give us some useful data, and some of that appears in our in the overall report. For those questions where we were able to break it down and look at respondents of color versus white respondents, there weren't very many statistically significant differences, and there were no substantial differences. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're capturing everyone. So your other question about language, this survey was only in English. We don't really have the capability to translate into relevant languages, although that would be a really interesting thing to look into for the board to fund in the future. And what was the other issue? There was a third piece that we wanted to talk
about. Did you publicly announce it or make people aware from different cultures that they have the opportunity to do this, or was this just available on the Great River Regional Library website?
Oh, no, heavens. We individually contacted all respondents. So we emailed and called respondents individually. They all received several, I think we did three rounds of
there were 72,000 people, 72,000 users that we sent an email to. So it was essentially the entire user base of the library. So it's not a random sample, and it's not a community sample. So it was simply the people who were members of the library, and we got rid of duplicate entries. So if there were multiple emails, because I lose my card, and if I sign up again, my email address is probably in three or four times. So we got rid of duplicates so that the same person wouldn't get, you know, multiple opportunities to respond. But we simply don't know how representative it is. And that's the problem with, because the library doesn't collect private data, we cannot compare it to the community because we don't know if the people that have library cards are a representative cross-section of the community. So we definitely are concerned about that level. But we don't have a way to address it at this time. But we did send... We sent, three reminders. So it was everyone that had a library card, even if they hadn't been active in over a year. And we sent reminders.
The other thing we did is we had a dual data collection methodology, which is one way to access people who use media differently. So we did do a telephone version of the survey. That typically is better at reaching harder-to-reach populations. So younger people, people of color, people who are very busy and maybe not logging into their personal email all the time. So, and that was a relatively small number of the total, but we did get a little bit higher, I want to say 12% respondents of color from that telephone sample. So really important issue, and we share your concern, and we did try to do something related to it. But our suggestion is actually focus groups. If you want to get more detailed and especially policy-relevant information from particular racial or ethnic or age or gender groups.
Thank you.
Are there other questions?
George?
Yeah. So on page 37, I actually read some of this. On page 37 under...
Thank you, George.
Under former users, I know it was a tiny sample, but there was a mention of safety concerns. Do you have any context to that? Somebody felt
so
unsafe
there,
coming
so,
in the library.
If you take the, get the full report, you can look at the very back and you'll see the wording of the survey, which was either delivered electronically through a Qualtrics software or was read on the telephone. For some of those responses, for people who hadn't used the library, for example, they were asked why. And there was a list of options they could choose, and then there was other. And that other, a few people, and I want to say less than 10, and I think it was more like less than 5, indicated something about not feeling secure in downtown St. Cloud, in the library. So
it was almost exclusively, if I remember, it was the St. Cloud branch, and it was a spontaneous, open-ended response where, you know, why did you not feel comfortable coming to the library? And some of them reported just St. Cloud. They didn't feel safe.
Okay. That helps me understand. Thanks.
Are there any other questions?
Any other questions? Thank you. It was very informed, informational.
Thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity to work with you guys. And let us know if you have any additional analysis or data needs, and we're happy to help. yeah. hook you up.
Thanks.
Do you want the preset one on here?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, just because it isn't perfect doesn't mean it's not helpful.
You're right. Okay, we will move on to staff reports. Yeah. Executive Director. Oh, she's here. Anything that sticks out, or do you want to?
You know, I can talk about most of this in a different point in the meeting. The executive director's report kind of stands as is. Management reports, I don't have anything additional, but building reports, I had a couple of things to share.
Okay.
St. Cloud Public Library, we talked about the chiller bill at the finance committee meeting, but the city of St. Cloud is looking at updating the lighting system here. We were told by the city administrator that it would be no cost to Great River. They're swapping out the current system with something that's LED. So we expect them to start in this room because, as you can see, there's issues with some of the lights in this room as we speak. And they're hoping it will be some energy savings as they make that change. Howard Lake, Brian's somewhere here, but he went to ALA and presented on the Howard Lake building. I will pass a little news article around. Howard Lake is going to be the first net zero library in Minnesota. It's one of 12 in the state, and they're starting to get some publicity around it. So it's probably worth noting that. And I can't remember if I shared, but Cold Spring actually purchased the vacant lot. So, thanks to Wayne Bauernschmidt for watching a lot of media alerts and sending them along, because sometimes that's how we learn about stuff. So, those were the big building updates that I wanted to share that were not included in the packet. Any questions on anything in the management reports, director's report, building reports before I can keep going with the stats if we're ready for that.
Yep.
They start on page 53. So we've been breaking these down by quarter. These are tied out to specific strategic plan objectives as much as we can. And what we're starting to see now, I think, is finally the stats and the business activity are showing recovery from the pandemic and the reflection of going fines free. It just takes that long for a system this big to start actually showing the results. But you can see that, you know, we're continuing to see increases in digital library. That has not changed. We are now starting to see some strong increases in total current resident borrowers, which has taken about 3 years to get out of the pandemic trend. And then physical materials is also trending up. Maybe not quite as much as last year, but we're definitely going to hit that $2.5 million mark like we did last year, and with any hope we might get closer to $3 million by next year. Miscellaneous receipts, Amy had talked about in her accounting report to the finance committee, but we're also still collecting more than we anticipated from fines. So it's been a very strong year if you go so far. If you go to page 55, you can see that total borrowers by library are generally up. Swanville's the one exception, and while they mentioned there were only 26 people that reported back on the survey from Swanville, there's only 412 registered borrowers there, so that's a pretty good representative sample just based on those numbers. The bigger libraries are now starting to see the jumps, and that's what's been different from a year ago. So Elk River has 733 borrowers more than the beginning of the year. We had not seen them getting on the backside of the decline from the pandemic until now. And that's our second largest library, so that's significant. St. Cloud's also showing some increases, as is St. Michael, continuing that trend. So it's really exciting to see those numbers come back. New borrowers by library on the next page are also up. So we had a really strong summer so far. Summer reading program, from all reports, is going to be as strong as last year. And if you go to page 59, you can actually see the year-to-date statistics by branch. Not every library is up circulation-wise, and the region is still kind of hanging in there at 1.2 million at halfway through the year. But what we are seeing are places like Buffalo and Elk River finally seeing circulation increases. And because they're such big libraries, they have a stronger influence on the total number. So once St. Cloud gets out of their holding pattern, I think we'll also see the regional number start jumping too. So, any questions about stats? I get excited about numbers, so. Human resources reports are the next section. On page 61, you can see the results of what we've been doing with hiring in the past year. We have a lot of people starting to celebrate their first anniversary. So that's an interesting trend. We still have our long-timers hanging with us. Sharon Verkota is down in Delano, Rockford, has been with us 20 years, and I think she's been working in both branches for almost that whole time. Ashley Jaslick started out as an aide in St. Michael. She's celebrating her 15th, and we've got Wa, Jason, and Alex in tech services all at their 10th. So kudos to them. I'll also point out Brianne Fruth, our communications and development coordinator, is celebrating her 5th anniversary this year. So we've seen the real benefit of hiring Brianne 5 years ago as we've been watching the changes in federal promotion.
I think the thing to get out of that is that's how long it takes.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you first get these things going, you're going, oh God, 5 years. But it's true.
5 years goes quick. You've got a pandemic in the middle. Page 63 is worth noting to 64. And this is something that speaks to our hiring trends. It's not unusual to have this many people leaving the organization in a half a year. What is unusual is the number of people who've been here less than a year. And that's kind of reflective of today's workforce. It's a very different environment to be hiring part-time people into. The people who are taking our jobs don't typically want to stick around for a whole year if they're hired into an aide position in particular. So that's something we're continuing to watch and consider. We've been making some adjustments by transitioning 8 hours into assistant hours that are a little more stable positions. But you can see that takes a toll on an organization when you see that many people coming in and out in that short amount of time. So something to watch. Exit interviews are in here too.
But I mean, on this terminations, are they going to other libraries?
No.
So, I mean, that's a
we're hiring retirees, hiring people who are in school. Sometimes they get promoted. You know, the promotions report is reflective of that. We try really hard to promote. Exit interviews. This is a summary that you get twice a year. And as people are leaving, they get an opportunity to turn in that exit interview summary. HR kind of condenses that into themes so you can kind of see what people are saying as they're leaving. That's there for you to review.
Karen, do you get a lot of them that do the exit interviews, or do you get the majority?
If you look on page 68, you can kind of see, like, this is 6 months, so if they quit in December, it may be included. If they quit in June, we might not have it yet, but you can kind of see number of separations versus number of people that responded.
Okay.
It's about half.
So, Karen, there's a lot of talk about pay being low as compared to other libraries. Now, are they talking about other libraries like in the Twin Cities, or are they talking about other libraries somewhere else?
I would say probably the Twin Cities.
And that
I mean,
do you know for sure that they're comparing it to other libraries?
No.
That's what they say.
I don't know that.
Not comparable to metro area libraries. Very low for aides and drivers.
Yeah, and, you know, those positions both pay below 15. So if you're comparing to metro, that's true.
I would say if you're comparing it to just about any job. Right. It's pretty low.
Aids start at 11, I think, right now. Drivers, I want to say, are 13.
And how soon can they move up then? Is it?
It's dependent on what the board passes for increases. So last year, you know, we have the quartiles, so I think they're getting a 1.5 within the quartile, and then I think it was 3% on the front.
3%.
Yeah. Yeah, so there may come a point in time where we want to do something more. I don't know how we know when that point is and how we want to approach that. Thinking about the end of the year, you know, we do have a surplus likely coming. What we also don't know are things like how will we have to tackle safe and sick leave here? How will we have to tackle paid family leave here? What will the cost be for that? So it's a little early to know how much we actually have available to dig into that question, but it might be something to look at. We are participating in other regional libraries' salary surveys. We had Pioneerland requested last year, and East Central just sent a request. So when we participate, we generally get the results of that, and we've been using that as also a comparison point to know how far out of line we are. We're still able to hire. I can tell you the positions that have been the hardest to hire are not library aides. Retention is an issue, always has been with that position. It's just shorter now. The harder positions to fill have been the higher level positions like our library services coordinators that require a bachelor's degree or better because, you know, they're not all 40-hour jobs. Most of them are in the 30 range now. Most are benefit eligible, and we've been making that change. But this was a region structured on part-time staff, and that part-time market, if you look at, you know, information from Deed, it's mostly high school students and retired people. Mm-hmm. And the retired people are not necessarily looking for public-facing jobs the way they used to be. So it's just, we're not really sure where we're going yet because everything keeps changing. Like a year ago when we were posting and interviewing people, we were ghosted pretty regularly. And, you know, you'd schedule 6 interviews and maybe 3 or 4 would show up. And then you'd make an offer and maybe somebody would accept. And now we're actually getting through a process where you're offering a position, people are showing up and coming on day 2. So I'm hopeful that, you know, as the workforce figures out what it is now, we'll better be able to plan for what Great River needs to do next.
So we'll move on to number 10, committee reports. Finance.
Okay, that would be me. On the finance committee, we only had 3 directors here, so we did not have a quorum. So we did make recommendations to the full board to approve what was in the finance committee. So I would ask that we approve what the recommendations are from the finance committee. So if you have any questions about that, otherwise, pretty easy. There wasn't that much. We got over pretty 15 minutes, so there wasn't much on it. I think what we did is give me a minute here. We pulled some money out of the building account to take care of repairing, help me out there.
The chiller.
Air conditioning unit. You know, so that money was set aside. It was like $19,000 and change. Correct? I think it was. Yeah.
Yep. And we had $31,000.
We had $31,000 in building maintenance, so we just used that money to take care of that. And so that's pretty easy. Otherwise, everything was normal according to what we were given here. So I ask for a motion to, I make the motion. I'll need a second.
Second.
Motion been made by Randy, seconded by Lee to accept the finance committee's report. Again, it was, you know, this board is going to do that because the finance committee just made recommendations. Any other discussions or questions on the finance? Randy can sure answer them.
I can quick, the chiller, is that our responsibility or is that the city's responsibility?
That's a great question. One of the best. I've been fighting that baby for years.
Something about if you have a crane
involved. You haven't won as yet.
It's, Again, this is my theory of when somebody had the fire. You tip the building upside down, what falls out is the libraries. What hangs in there is the city of St. Cloud. But guess what? In the wording, the chiller air conditioning unit is not quite in that legal description because, again, it was added to the building even though it took a crane. So now they're going to redo the wording, supposedly. And, again, my question was, is that going to benefit Great River or is it going to benefit the city of St. Cloud? Karen's answer is?
It will benefit us because we'll know ahead of time and can budget for stuff. It is our responsibility.
It looks like we're kind of responsible for it.
Yeah, we're kind of responsible.
So, great question.
Okay, so any other questions? Call the question. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks, Randy. Then we have the personnel committee. Melissa?
We had two items that we approved. The first was some revisions to position descriptions for the Associate Director of Human Resources and Administrative Assistant. And I can't read my writing. How's that? There we go. And these were based on some reorganization that was started in 2020. And the second item was adding Juneteenth as a paid holiday for staff. So I move to approve.
I'll second.
Melissa made the motion. Jane seconded. Any questions for Melissa? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Fund development, that's just verbal. Do we have anything from them?
So we met, I think, in June, and basically we were talking about some of the larger sums of money that the library has received as gifts or inheritance gifts, trying to brainstorm how to utilize those to maximize benefit for all members and all people in the library, since we have no guidance from the people who donated the money. So we were trying to brainstorm some ideas about that. And we're still working on that ongoing.
So, yeah, I think we approved a couple of projects to be paid out of the Marcelle Carlson Fund for Elk River, one being the Reading Bridge project, which would be a pilot project to bring literacy tutors to the Elk River Library. And we're hoping to expand that to Sherburne County Libraries as part of that first initial project. And then if it goes well, maybe more.
Okay. Anything else, Zaria? No. Then we'll move on to the Collection Development Committee, and Lynn's going to do that.
Yep. First of all, we have met three times, 2 hours each, so it's a extremely hardworking committee. Every time I go, I'm so impressed by the library employees that are there, their willingness to engage in this. So we have three main goals. We will review selection criteria. We'll review cataloging practices related to assigning an intended audience. We will review the request for reconsideration process. Some also have requested that we consider an age-restricted area and we consider a community standard for obscenity, especially as related to visual depictions. So far, here's what we've done. We've studied and discussed the Great River Regional Collection Development Policy as it exists right now. We have looked at other library policies. Specifically, we looked at East Central Regional Library policies. We looked at Anoka County policies and Hennepin County policies. We have taken a good look at the First Amendment and the protections for freedom of speech. We have looked at, there's a three-part definition of obscenity, which we have familiarized ourselves with.
We looked at a legal opinion written for eCentral from Timothy Sullivan of Rockwick, Rosnick, and Maloney on this topic. We also, at our last meeting, determined that all pending and new requests for consideration will receive a response from Karen, or I think, Karen. That we are reviewing the process and no action will be taken until the review is complete. Library employees Jamie, Amy, Elizabeth, and Chris are in the process of rewriting the selection policy. At our last meeting, we looked at the first draft, made further suggestions, and they'll bring it back to us again. The cataloging and collection development librarians will do further work on the cataloging and placement of library materials section. And that will include guidance on labels and displays. Our next meeting items are the request for reconsideration process itself, visual depictions, and community standards. So that's where we're at. And that from this group, it's Lisa, Wayne, and I.
Correct. Sounds like you're doing a very good job.
I'm impressed.
Yeah,
really?
I do want to ask you a question, Lynn. When you talk about community standards, can you elaborate that? Because that's such a
difficult
kind of thing.
And that request has come through on requests for consideration. So we are going to be tasked with the difficult job of trying to determine community standards. It's a very difficult thing to determine, as some of the speakers, standards are all over. And so
But does a public library have to follow a community standard? Because, I mean, there'll be some people who'll be happy with it, but
right,
there'll be some
right.
in the community who would not be happy with
right.
it. And we are open and public
yep.
to all.
And the community standards cannot infringe on the freedom of speech requirements either.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
Get that in a minute.
Can I ask you a question? Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you mean and what you're talking about when you say cataloging and labeling of books? What do you?
I'm going to let Karen do that because
I might have to phone
it's
a friend
very specific
or two from the audience.
In library
but.
Sure.
So cataloging is so we buy a new book. We have a staff member that looks at Library of Congress and other libraries and says, these are the subject headings that are going to be assigned so that people can find the book in the online catalog. And then a label is applied and people know where to shelve it. And then some people have asked that we also have genre labels, so horse books.
Westerns.
Sci-fi, but people have asked that we actually label materials based on age appropriate or, I don't know, explicit content or something like that. And we don't do that. And we've been asked to do that. So we're going to talk about what needs to be different or not and why not.
And when you say people have asked, who are you talking about? Like the public or?
The public.
But then isn't that
some
a parent's job? You know, you monitor what your kids read, and as an adult, you can read whatever you want. I have no right to say what you're reading. As a child, it's my job to make sure my kids are reading what I believe is appropriate, and if it's not appropriate, they're not getting their hands on it.
But the way it exists today, I can be 14, I can come to the library and check out anything I want, right?
Pretty much, except for a rated R movie.
Come to the library, you can open your phone and you can have everything that you want right at home.
That's true. That's very true, but we can only focus in on the library, not the media at large. And back to the question about different standards, you're never going to satisfy everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to come to some kind of compromise mm-hmm. on it. So it's not going to be black and white, clearly mm-hmm. difficult.
There's no perfect answer.
No. Mm-hmm.
But it'll be the answer we come to right now, and that'll be the standard for a while.
I thank you people for doing that.
Yeah.
Sounds like you're doing a very good job.
Yeah, no matter what you come up with, someone will complain. So it must be a good job. Kind of like what we do.
Yeah, right. Central Minnesota Library Exchange Board.
I'll speak to that. We are totally moved out of CMER, D.C. They are still helping us with the audit, which is coming up quickly in August. They're requesting information right now for the audit. We have Melissa Vetron. How do you pronounce her last name?
Brishon.
Brishon. Continues to be our interim executive director, and she is just awesomely wonderful. I did visit our new home of CMLE in Cambridge, and the space is great. Large storage areas. We're close to our financial advisor there. Her name is Pam Fry. And we also have Ryan, I don't know his last name, but he's their IT person, is right next door to the space that we are renting. East Central is providing our minute takers in the future, and all this is taken covered with our 10% fee. So it's really nice to have the financials and the IT and all that available to us. Our VR kits are still being evaluated for safety, security breaches. Their IT is going to look at those, I'm not sure, here or at Cambridge. It's still kind of out there because thanks to JC's people, they did notice that there was a breach that you could see all the past phone numbers that had been connected to the VR kits. So we're still working on those issues. We still have some banking issues. More to come on that. We're kind of in limbo if we're going to change banks. We've had some problems with Falcon Bank versus, and we're still in Bremer Bank. We have issues who's going to be signing the checks and some things. There's a distance problem. I live quite far away. We're just not really close together with our executive committee. But we'll figure that out, like if we're going to have a stamp or how we're going to sign checks in the future. Our executive meetings were every 1 to 2 weeks, and now it's almost been 2 months. Like, very strange. August 1st will be our first executive meeting since June 14th. Our full board will be in September. Melissa did find a traveler's insurance policy covering the office for $800 a year, and we don't really need that. It was never really disclosed to us before, so that was canceled. We do have lots of funds coming our way now with the new money that's coming out. We're going to get an extra $100,000. Wow. So we do need. So our budget went from $174,000 to, and now it'll be $274,000 approximately. So we do need new ways to spend that money. We're rebuilding CMLE basically from scratch. So we're not sure which direction we're going to go or what projects we're going to have. So hopefully if you have any ideas to share where you'd like that money to go for your libraries, your public libraries, keep us informed. First of all, thank you to Zuria for putting up with us for about a year. She has only Wednesdays off, and she donated those Wednesdays to all of us. She's going to be going out of the country, I think, soon. So she did step down, and we're so thankful to have Lynn. Yeah. Coming into her place. Lynn has been at one meeting, and we just thank her for stepping up and saying yes to us after hearing all the other negative comments about CMLE. Any questions about our new space, new projects?
Is that part of the East Central Library where you're renting?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Cambridge. It's the brand new library there. It's just huge. It was an old nursing home redone.
Well, yes, I remember the
and it's
company's it, talking about
the
that.
Person that did the architecture, did a great job. The person had never done a library, but it's amazing. The space is great. It's so close to Carla Leiden, who's their executive director, and she is helping in so many ways. And then Pam Fry is very close by where Melissa is working. And then, as I said, Ryan is right across the hall. So once we get those VR kits figured out, some of our stuff is still stored here at St. Cloud by Karen's office. She's really happy about that still. All the VR kits are in her hallway. But most of the files and everything else is stored at the Cambridge Library, and it's just a huge space that we can use. So it, and as I said, Melissa is just amazing, the stuff she's done, what she's been digging through, trying to separate the old files from the new CMER. DC did get rid of all our old stuff. A lot of the stuff was repurposed to St. Cloud's Library or to East Central for some of their libraries, like tables and chairs. And I don't know what you got out of the deal, Karen. I don't think very much. But
3 chairs and a bike desk.
Christmas decorations, okay. And some of the other holiday decorations were donated. Or we let, they said they would get rid of those, was part of our policy.
Okay. Then.
Any other questions about our new place? Or?
So I just have a question. You talked about getting a lot more money, which is always good. Are your expenses going to stay the same, or do you expect that with the move and the new location, is there going to be a significant change in expenditure?
Well, there's a 10% on top of the $174,000. So that is a new added piece to the puzzle.
Okay.
But we did get an CMLE had lots of funds. They never spent it. We did some mini grants. Those aren't coming back quite yet. There's so many things to straighten out about how we can actually get grant money, accept funds, because we didn't have the SIM number, or what was that special number code?
SAM's number.
SAM.
Yeah.
SAM. We're getting that straightened out. Melissa's working and has got quite a few things straightened out, but as she said, there's so many moving parts to this, and she's just the perfect person to figure it all out. So I've been sleeping a lot better since June 14th when we hired Melissa.
Is she just an interim, or are you guys?
She's a temp for about a year. She likes to do small projects. She's a little bit older, and she just is amazing. So dynamic. She knows libraries. She knows multi-types. She knows all the workings of all these different people. She connects really well with all the different multi-types. Just an amazing lady. I don't know, Karen found her, and Carla, they said they were talking about it in a parking lot one day, and said, I wonder what Melissa's doing. I think they were just trying to hide her from me. She'll come and talk eventually. Should we put it on the schedule for to come give an update?
Yeah, we usually do it in the fall. Let's let her get her sea legs a little more, and yeah.
And she's just amazing. Yeah. You will be very impressed with her.
Yeah, she was former Carver County director, and if you've been following along at all, like, the first locker systems in the state of Minnesota happened in Carver County, and she was part of that project. So she's always been a forward thinker and a long time, I don't know, well-known person in library land in Minnesota. So we were fortunate to find her on the end of another project when we called.
She plans to stay for a year. Yeah. I'm like, you can't quit. You have to give us a year, and then maybe we could talk her into more. But hopefully we'll have a program in place, and we can hire a new person and maybe still even go to that resource place.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
I don't know if St. Cloud State University is still going to be on the table. They said they will reconsider moving us there. I kind of like that it's up at East Central right now, because they always felt kind of like they did not get a fair shake of the money. So maybe they'll find somebody up there that would take the position as executive director eventually.
Okay.
Looking good there.
All right, thanks. Number 11, unfinished business. Great River Regional Library's 2024 budget proposal and discussion. We need action on this. It's in your packet on page 69. I think everybody should be.
I forgot how we handle that. Is this if we adopt a preliminary, it can go down, but it can't go up? Is that then?
No, once it's passed, this is what goes to your counties.
Not like we can operate. Can go down, but we can't go up. Yeah. This one can't do that.
Yeah, so we do.
So if you looked at it, every county's neutral and stuff like that.
Same budget we looked at in May.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed.
No.
They change yep. that was proposed. So we do need an approval of that.
I'll move it.
I'll second.
Lee and Jane. And if you looked at it, you got any comments? Otherwise, all in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. 12.1 Great River Regional Library's Youth Advisory Council proposed, page 79.
We talked about this a long time ago, but with all of the other things happening, I haven't had a time to pull it together. This was part of our diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. We have had a hard time getting feedback from kids, and we talked about establishing a permanent council of youth from people around schools around the region to represent what youth want from the library and give them a leadership opportunity, pay a per diem, teach them how Robert's rules might work. And we'll probably do it virtually, but first we need to put the bones in place so we can start exploring what it might look like. I'm hoping that if we pass it tonight, that the timing's close enough to a new school year that we might be able to get kids to participate. It's a little ambitious, but worth a shot. So this is my first attempt. There's a variety of places around the region that I'm aware of that have youth councils. Primarily, I cribbed from Stearns County Human Services Youth Advisory Board and Career Solutions. I also took a look at what I think St. Cloud Diocese has a youth council. And I don't remember what else, but those were the ones that I had at the ready, and they had similar ideas in it. So.
This is a separate entity and not a seat at this, or is that?
It's not. Yeah, we would have to change the joint powers agreement to actually have them a voting member of this board, but I could see members of that advisory council making recommendations to this board and coming to a full board meeting to do that. Okay. So.
Well, Mr. Chair, I just wanted to add, I attended some of the focus groups that we did through the library, trying to get recruitment from school kids to come in. We did get quite a good participation. I worked with Brandy on that, and it was a very healthy discussion that we had a couple of times. I don't know whether they were coming for the free lunch or whether they were just coming to get out of school, but they had a lot of new ideas, and I think a lot of us are stuck in the mud and this whole technology and new age and Twitter and TikTok, and, you know, we just don't have the ideas of how to look at things, how young people are accessing and how they want information to be accessible to them. So I think that this is a very good effort on the library's part to kind of involve them in future decision-making, policy-making, kind of giving their input, because a lot of kids didn't come to the library. They didn't even know what services the library had. It was just something. It's a library. You go there to get books. And so I think we need to engage the kids. So I think this would be a really good effort, so I would totally support it.
Also like to, Mr. Chair, have CMLE involved in that, too, to get ideas of how what they'd like us to donate to their whatever they're looking at.
Oh, yeah, we could certainly incorporate some of those discussions once we get this up and running.
Yeah. So we keep us
and,
involved.
You know, if you look at the user survey, I know we talked about people of color, but I was more concerned about the underrepresentation of 18 to 24 and 24 to 44 in those results. That's the future of the library, and it was, like, not even close to 30%. It's something to think about. So I think this would set us up for the future to at least get that information about where we should be going next to appeal to the younger generation better than what we have been.
You need action on this.
Well, this you have about $3,600.
That's if I can get 12 kids to show up for 6 meetings a year twice. Or 2 kids from, you know.
And you have to feed them, too, right?
Yeah.
Key is feeding them, right?
Karen, is this your responsibility? Does this land on your lap?
We haven't discussed who's actually. I actually have staff members who are really excited about the idea, okay. So I'm hopeful that I might be able to delegate this once it's up and running. Yeah.
I would be more than happy to be involved in this if you need somebody to help.
Thanks. And I mean, we also have a lot of educators on our board, so I'm hoping you can help connect us with the right people to get some seeds yep. for the board.
Let us yeah. know how we you want us to recruit.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well, I think getting representation from a lot of the areas is going to be, but that also is probably the challenge in how to meet.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, if we do it virtually, that would get rid of the transportation barrier.
Oh, yeah. Get a letter for their jacket or something.
Yeah, well, that's just it. You get a letter. It's a leadership opportunity.
Yeah.
You get a stipend.
So I'll move to establish a youth advisory council.
I'll second.
We got George's main motion, and we'll give it to Al for the second. Any other discussion? Otherwise, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And we'll go financial policy revisions.
We recently met with our third-party auditor who reviewed our fixed asset and our asset disposal policies. She has some significant changes suggested that will reflect what we're doing now within the organization and that will bring us up to date on the Government Accounting Standards Board or those GASB standards that we have to follow. Updates include a revised fixed asset life schedule for the library materials like books and DVDs and such. Changes include updates to asset categories and the addition of life cycles there. We also added considerations of donated materials, which wasn't in there before, and some considerations for aggregate purchases that she says that need to be in there for GASB. So lastly, clarity is provided on specifics of the organizational positions that are going to be responsible for determining fixed asset values and the end of those life cycles. So tonight I'm going to ask the board to approve those policy revisions. And they will be updated and used on our next audit then. So
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Randy made the motion. Jane seconded. Any other discussion? Andy explained it pretty well, I think. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Great River bylaws, fund development policy revisions.
So this... is an attempt, now that we are officially 501c3, to give Fund Development Committee formal standing within Great River policy. Up until now, it's been performing as an ad hoc committee with membership appointed by the board chair each year. So what we were trying to create is a committee that doesn't have open meeting requirements. Like, we want something that has board representation, but largely this should be donors, staff, people that are invested in fund development, and the board provides that liaison role, but we don't want it to be a formal committee of the board like personnel and finance. That's a different function. So I've worked with legal to kind of dance that dance. What we're doing is asking that the bylaws be changed, that at each year, the board appoints two or three people from this board, the board chair appoints from this board to the committee, which has been our practice, and then the committee itself is established within fund development policy, and on here is the defined tasks, most of which are coming from the job description that we've looked at in the past. It shouldn't be new, but it's new in that it would actually have formal standing and a purpose within our policies and the board bylaws. So.
I'd move that.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion.
L second. It's not all that much different from where we're at.
Correct. Right. It's just now it's official.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Library Services Technology Act 2024.
This was a mad scramble. It's on your on the table in front of you. It says 12.4 on the top. The state released the LSTA grant round after the board met. We wanted to apply, but we need board approval on the application because it's over the $6,000 grant application window. The deadline was last Friday. It's already been submitted to the state with the assumption that we could pull back the application if you guys don't want to pursue this grant. But we knowing what the survey looked like and knowing the discussions we've had about focus groups and the challenges and barriers we've had with focus groups, knowing we did the work with Wilder Research last year on the logic model and developing a program evaluation plan, this grant would allow us to contract with Wilder Research and maybe FieldSun Talent partners to actually do some formal focus groups and individual interviews from the populations that were underrepresented in the survey to actually garner the feedback that we've been looking for all these years. So if it's awarded, it's about a $30,000 grant, but it does need board approval. If we did get awarded, we'll find out.
It's already been submitted.
So. It's already submitted.
Kudos to you. You said you couldn't do it, and then you guys went after the Fund Development Committee. You must have put your head together.
We were like, I don't think we can do it. And then we're like, you know, Wilder did this, and can we pull this together? Credit to Jamie and Amy and Beth and Brianne. I can't remember who else was a part of the mad scramble, but we did get it done.
One of those things where it couldn't hurt us,
right?
Might improve us.
Yes.
So it has way more upside than not.
So you got to move that, Lee?
I
can.
And then second.
Lee made the motion, and Zaria seconded it. Any other discussion about that grant? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Carried.
Anything else?
Others? I guess we got one deal. We have a little conflict on our October meeting. Some people are...
We're wondering if it would be a major issue if we moved it to October 10th, a week earlier. It was on the schedule for October 17th, but it would be the Tuesday before.
Anybody have any issues with that if we...
It was originally scheduled for October 17th. We're wondering if we can move it to October 10th.
I don't have any problem with it, so it must be okay.
And that is a regular meeting or a waiting?
That would be the work session where the Collection Development Committee will be reporting back. There may be other stuff, like that might be the time we bring in the CMLE director to talk.
So hearing none, we will probably move that. It'll be at Karen's discretion. Okay. The next meeting of the Board of Trustees is September 19th. We don't have a meeting in October. I mean in August.
No, not unless you really want one.
Anybody want a meeting in August? Okay.
Do you want to do open forum for board?
Go on.
Did we do something with Tino's requesting to be on the Fund Development Team?
That was a request to be in the minutes.
Yeah, it was a request to be in the minutes. She contacted me after I had made my decision on who was going to be on that committee, and she wanted to be on there. I never really give her consideration because of her newness to the library. She was only attended 4 or 5 meetings prior to that, and I had very qualified people that said they wanted to be on there, so that's how it kind of about, and she kind of wanted to be, but it didn't happen. So, and she did request it at the end of the meeting that,
right,
you know, noted that she volunteered to be on there and it wasn't accepted. So,
but that's something next year she could be on it, right? Yeah.
Right.
What's to prevent her from being a non-voting member of that committee? She could attend.
It's not a voting committee. It's, not, it's huh? a work. It's a working group.
Committee.
It's a working group.
Huh.
Yeah. Right. And I think we got
Three,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And two can meet and with an alternate, or did we just leave it at
Yeah, three? That's we always have at least two people there, yeah, but so usually three.
To discuss. So it looks like the committee functioned very well. So,
all right.
Open forum, do you have anything on open forum, any board members?
Wasn't nearly as exciting as I anticipated.
What were you expecting, Lee?
Yeah, Lee, what was you expecting? So.
I thought we'd have to bring in the National Guard, but apparently they weren't needed.
Okay. With that, I'll adjourn the meeting.